gentleman, Reverend Warren Barnhart.
Ah, thank you, Bob. Bless you guys. Woo. Good to be back again. Definitely want to bring greetings and love from the great state of Oklahoma, where I'm a current resident. I know Vicki and Jeanette are on the phone line out there, so I bring their love too. Jeanette Evans is there taking my place for a few days, helping out. But Vicki's recovering very well, and actually the surgeon offered to do the next knee replacement in April. But because of our travels here for the event in June, we decided we're going to just wait a bit. She'll be really strong, and but she definitely wanted to come, obviously, right? Anyway, I wanted to start this morning with a short story. It's actually taken from Jan McGera's book, some of you have read, called The Fence of Salvation. There was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried, and the king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror, for peaceful, towering mountains were all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all, but when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in the crack of a rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There in the midst of the rush of angry water sat the mother bird on her nest, perfect peace. What picture do you think won the prize? Well, the question then that comes up, what picture do you carry? What do you see when you look into life's canvas? You know, I think it's important for us to be like that bird and be, I call it, undisturbedly peaceful, if that's a word, amidst the storms and circumstances of everyday life. And that's the challenges we're up against, everybody. Day by day living, right? So that being said, I was inspired this week to share on a topic I called the power of the pause. And all I can think about when I put that title together and God just showed me all about this stuff is the teaching that Dan did on the dash. I don't know if you remember that, but it's like, you know, on a tombstone, there's a birth date and an end date, and it's like in between is a person's life. Now, all that's represented is a dash. You know, so, Jeffrey, you put up that first slide. I wanted to have a quick look at this. It says, now and then it's good to pause in our pursuit of happiness and just be happy. Quit trying to be so happy and just be happy. I mean, you know what I mean? And I guess we've heard it said, just let God be God. You know, God doesn't need really our help to solve every problem there is in the world. Nothing's taking God by surprise. I mean, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, all these different things, the COVID, blah, 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 the list goes on and on. Oh, my God. It has not taken God by surprise, see? So sometimes I say, let's just take a pause in our pursuit of happiness. Just be happy. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So have you ever been have you ever been watching a TV program or a movie and you just needed to get up to get popcorn? Go to the refrigerator, go to the bathroom maybe, or answer a phone call. What do? Click. Put everything on pause, right? We hit the pause button, and then, you know what, temporarily the action stops, so to speak, and allows us to do what we need to do for a period of time. And then, you know what, we come back, we stretch, we've all refreshed, we've got our iced tea and our caramel corn, and we come back up, and you know what we do? We hit the play button. So look at this next slide. So sometimes pictures just say so much. How about that? Play the moments, pause the memories, stop the pain,
refresh the happiness.
Isn't that so cool? I just think God just brings these things into my world just to bless me and now bless you guys. So we play the good moments in our lives, you know? The past is gone, so you know what? Forget about it. So could this be a solution for us to temporarily stop the mechanical noise and processes of life and just hit the pause button? And so that's the purpose of what I'm sharing this morning. Not only the necessity of the pause, but also the spiritual benefits in the long run. And I call it the power of the pause. So if you have a Bible or some sort of electronic device, I'm going to be going to Isaiah chapter 40. Wanted to read a couple of sections of the scripture here. Like that song said, sometimes it's just good to just be still. And this is not a teaching on being still, although right away Psalm 46:10 comes to mind, be still and know that I am God. Other places where they were praying for solutions and answers, you know what God said? Be still. I've got this covered. The battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. We try so hard in our own strength to solve everything. Well, you're not capable of that. You may be very talented in what you do and everything, but you can't solve every problem that comes into your life or the lives of others. But we can pray. We know that God is the God of the impossible. But I thought this was really encouraging, Isaiah chapter 40, starting verse 28. I kind of take a deep breath when I read these. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, this is New King James, by the way, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even though the young men shall utterly fail, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Actually, it says in verse 10, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But you know, there's an interesting word here in verse 31. It says those who wait upon the Lord. You know what to me that's like? Hitting the pause button. You know, quit the, you know, I got to go here and I got to go there and I got to pause. Wait. And God says the promise is you're going to rise up like an eagle. You know, we see these birds flying around. We saw a bunch of parakeets at Bob's today. They were squawking like roosters, but you know, you see these big border birds soaring around. That's how God is just going to rise us up. And it's totally opposite to what kind of the philosophy of the world might be to push harder. Push harder. Psalm 37, the power of the pause. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, and don't be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, feed on His faithfulness, delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't sound like a bad formula, if you want to call it that. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. And here it is. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret, don't get all worried and uptight and freaking out because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Patience has kind of become a lost art. We live in a very immediate, a culture of immediate gratification. I guess Amazon's probably served that purpose, but I buy things on Amazon because, you know what, it's easier than going out looking at 10 different places for it. I can find exactly what I want. And you know what? Sometimes it shows up the same day. I mean, definitely the next day. And all of you computer nerds, boy, if the internet strength is down and it takes you longer than, you know, a few mighty seconds to get the information you desire, what comes out? Irritation, frustration. This computer's so slow. Oh, wait, 10 seconds? That's too long? You see, we're so geared towards speed and having information right at our fingertips, and I'm guilty of this. And I've said this before, that we ask questions today we never asked years ago. It's the information age. You know, being in a conversation somewhere, sitting at the dinner table, somebody will ask the most absurd question. Like, I don't know. It just there was a couple we had yesterday, just in the course of conversation. Of course, I'm kind of the information guru. I have to have a phone right there. So, what do? You put it in there, man, and the information just comes right down the pipe. No wonder how many miles it is to the moon. Well, who in this room really knows that answer just right off the top of your head? Oh, there's Jeffrey and Joe Marshula. Okay, I got to ask another. No. Anyway, but you get the point. You get the point. And this is the kind of environment our kids are growing up in, too. You know, that instant gratification, information, everything's. I mean, how many people are babysitting their kids with an electronic device, you know, because they want them to. Shut up. You know, they're entertained, but they're feeding their minds on something. Just points to ponder. Psalm 23. Always a comforting psalm, I think. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name. You know, something about reading that psalm, that just kind of quiets you. And still waters. Yeah, really something. As it goes on in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word follow has also been translated as pursue. Sometimes I think, you know, if we slow down long enough to let it catch up with us, it'd be a good thing. We're trying to outrun something that's trying to catch up with us. So, you know what? We hit the pause button. We slow down. And in those moments, we engage in the conversation with God. It's just not religious activity. This is a relationship that we're in. So we can chit-chat with God, and God can chit-chat with us. I mean, most of us are pretty good on the phone doing that. I mean, it could go on for long periods of time. In some instances, I've witnessed people being on the phone for hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, that's a lot of words being spoken. You know, for me, it's like, hey, Todd, how's it going? Oh, good. Yeah, okay, well, we'll talk to you later. You know, click. but no, actually, Bob and I have spoken at times for longer periods of time. It's so cute. But what we want our lives to do is make pleasing music. Okay, I'm so thankful. You know, we've been able to have Warren here, and I think we all appreciate good music, whatever it might be. But a believer's life to make God-pleasing music that plays on, let's say, throughout all of eternity, one must learn to enter His appointed rest. Now, paradoxically, there is no music during the five rests, which is that what they call the variable length of rhythmic silence. There's no making the music without a rest. You know, in a sense, our entire life is or should be characterized by intermittent rests. You know, sometimes we may be led to think we've come to the end of the tune. However, God is sovereign, is not without divine design. He writes the music of our lives, which includes His rest. You know, in music, there's five rests. Whole rest, half rest, quarter, eighth, and sixteenth. This is how music is put together. I mean, even as I'm speaking, and people have mentioned this before, I pause at the end of statement. You know what? It helps to, I mean, I guess I just do it kind of unconsciously, but it helps to maybe accentuate the points. And I'm just not talking nonstop to the point you're like, I'll buy the car. No. You know. But He writes the music of our lives, which includes His rest. It is for us to learn the tune at the same time, not ignore His times of rest. His rest are not to be omitted, or to do so would just the melody. You know, it's good to remember that although there may seem to be no music in rest, there is no making of music without rest. Really something, man. Somebody once said, the will of God is not a burden to carry, it's a pillow to rest on. Amen? Yeah. Really something. Well, take your Bibles again and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is a little tongue twister. It says, God, Christ can make the rest of your days be the best of your days if He is the rest of your days. No tongue twister, but it's so powerful. Christ can make the rest of your days the best of your days if He is the rest of your days. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and then we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ raised Him from the dead, made Him to sit at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and raised us up with Him, made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. For by grace are you saved. You've been saved by grace, through faith, not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest that no man should glory. You're familiar with these verses. You've read these before. But you know what? The Christian life is, start to finish, is based upon the principle of our dependence upon God. There is no limit to the grace God is willing to bestow upon us. He will give us everything. But we can receive none of it except we rest in Him. See, these two verses talk about being raised and then being seated. Sitting is an attitude of rest. You're sitting there. You could stand up, you know, and you're wondering after a period of time, when is He going to let us sit down? Why? Because when you sit, you're resting, right? And of course, when we all stand up, we're standing together. Well, you know what? We're sitting here. We're sitting together. Right? When something has been finished, work stops, we sit. You know what? I'll just say this. Sleep is not always the way you rest. It's the way most of us rest because we're so exhausted by the time we get there, we're just bam. You know, we're done. And in the morning, maybe wake up, feel more rested. But what does it merely mean to sit down? When we walk or stand on your legs, you bear all the weight of your own body. We sit down, our entire weight rests upon the chair or the whatever it is you're sitting on. You know, we grow weary when we walk or stand, but we feel rested when we've sat down for a while. You know, because people get to a point, it's just, all I want to do is sit down. Except the new culture now that They've realized that sitting for long periods of time is probably not that good, so they brought in desks now that move stand up. Now everybody wants to stand up while they work. But they still have the option of sitting down, which they eventually will do. But you know what? When we sit down, we relax at once. Because the strain no longer falls upon our muscles and nerves, but upon something outside of ourselves. If you didn't have that chair to sit on, I guess you'd be on the ground. If that wasn't there, you'd be sitting on the real ground. Right? But in the spiritual realm, to sit down, it's simply just to rest our whole weight, our load, ourselves, our future, our everything upon the Lord. We let Him bear the responsibility and we cease to carry it ourselves. This is reiterated over and over and over and over again in the Scriptures. But it's not the reality of knowing what the Scriptures say. It's experiencing the reality of what the Scriptures say. I quote verses from here to eternity, but if they're not living and real to me, I mean, it's not like they're not of any value, but if I'm going to teach about the pause, then I want to live the pause. I don't want to just teach about peace. I want to live peace. I want to experience it. I want to participate in it. You know, in Ephesians 1 there, where we look, Paul prays the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. And to understand all that is contained for us, there's that double fact that God has first, by His mighty power, made Christ to sit, and then by grace, He's made us to sit with Him. I'm quoting from a book written by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. He says, this is the first lesson we must learn. That the work is not initially ours at all, but His. It is not that we work for God, but that He works for us. We don't work for God. It's not like we're doing God any favors, trying to be His assistant to solve problems. In reality, He doesn't even really need our help. But He loves, we're here, we're the messengers, He's called us, and on the love story goes. But God gives us our position of rest. We didn't even have to do anything about it. It's just this recognition and understanding of what we are, who we are, and what we've really truly been given. So, you know, it begs the question to be asked, well, great, but what do I do now? Where do I go from here? How does this apply to me? Well, maybe later today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next time your life is just turning upside down, you'll be reminded of the power of the pause. That you temporarily hit the pause button and you refresh yourself. And how do you do that? By basking in the presence of God, being led beside the still water, reflecting in the greatness of God's power and who He is, and His strength and a love that allow you and yourself to make pleasing music. So I'm going to kind of wrap this up here. I want Jeffrey to put up that last slide, if you would. Practice the pause. When in doubt, pause. When angry, pause. When tired, pause. When stressed, pause. And whenever you pause, pray. 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 One of the greatest resources we've been given is to pray. Just to stop and pray. And then listen. Because God has something to say to you. God has something to say to me. God has something to say to every Christian believer. And that's the art of all fine arts, is learning to distinguish and hear the voice of God. And then to make the decisions and choices to move forward. with what God is instructing us. He will not fail us. He will not fall. He will not fail. So, you know, we've covered a lot of territory here, but I really wanted just to impress upon you who we are, where we are sitting. You have to learn, you know, baby doesn't just start running down the street. You know, Gabe was born, he just didn't, well, he might have, but he just didn't get up and start running, you know. He got up, it was a process. He kind of stood up on his knees, he was crawling and doing whatever weird little things he did. And then he sat, right? And then eventually he was pulling himself up and trying to stand. And then eventually, the miracle of all miracles happened. He took his first step. And he's been trying to catch up with him ever since. I'm just using you. But you get it. You learn to stand. You learn to walk, sit. You cannot stand. You cannot walk until you first learn to sit. We always come from a place of rest. Rest. That's what we've been given spiritually through the work of Jesus Christ. But how does that translate then into our day-by-day living? Because you know what? There are circumstances and situations that come up that on the from the way they look and there's kind of, you know, it could potentially disturb rest. But we have to step back from those things to get wisdom, to get God's perspective on it. And that doesn't mean we don't then act. We might, but we might not. It's, that's where we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And so I'm thankful to be able to have the time to share some of these things. Remember that, the power of the pause. Just hit the pause button every now and then. Take the time to get refreshed, energized, re-strengthened a little bit. Talk to God. And when all these things happen, you know what? P-R-A-Y. P-R-A-Y. It's just conversing with God. It's talking things over with God. It's help! I mean, sometimes you don't have time to sit down and figure out a formal prayer. There's a car coming at you. You're going to get a prayer out real quick. Right? So we learn how to press the pause button so we can get the information we need or the rest or whatever it may be to move forward. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of this word and how it is so practical to us, Father, that we can enjoy the benefits of it. And that we can enter into that rest. It's kind of an odd thing, Father, but you say to labor to get into the rest. I pray that that makes sense, that it causes us to lay aside our own works, our own strength, our own ways, and just to become totally 100% dependent upon you. And our Lord Jesus set the greatest example of what that looked like. And we thank you that we have the Spirit of Christ within us, and we can come from a place of victory as we live our lives, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Barney. All right. Well,